Hello and welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jennifer.
You know, Jennifer, today we're going to talk about what separates good and great agents. You know, it seems like there's no shortage of agents, especially in the market we're in. There's thousands of agents, literally. There seems like there's a constant revolving door. You know, you can look at the stats of how long an agent has been an agent, and it's typically 3 to 4 years on average, but that's a constant 3 or 4 years. So you got to think about that cycle in and out of agents coming and going. So why don't you help us talk about what makes good to great?
Well, especially with our market right now, I think it's very important for agents to, you know, kind of sharpen the saw a little bit, but more importantly, you know, going from good to great, what are those qualities that we all need to have in order to just go from mediocre to, you know, the most awesome agent that there is? And so I, you know, this week I was especially thinking about communication. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're in the middle of a deal and we've got lenders, we've got appraisers, maybe, you know, organizer, or you've got photography and all these things, and you're trying to make communication with so many different people, but it is key to be great at communicating. And not only communicating, you know, with the appraiser or the lender or the photographer, but also your client. Your client, you need to be in constant communication with them. And so, I mean, I see a lot of people drop the ball on communication, unfortunately.
Well, the thing that first comes to mind is what you've talked about in previous episodes, where you set the expectations early on. How does the client like to be communicated with?
Absolutely.
That way you're communicating with them in the manner that is most effective for them, because of course it's about them.
Well, and make it clear and transparent. And when you do that, you actually build a really great level of trust, you know, and that's the important key, is building that trust. And, you know, once you have their trust, I mean, you've earned their business and they're going to want to continue to work with you. So.
And then the second thing that comes to mind when I think of communication, when you bring that up, I think about all the times where I've heard stories of clients not knowing what the next steps are in the process.
Right.
And so for agents to set those expectations and to communicate frequently enough, what's the next steps? What's going to be happening? Instead of the client just kind of sitting at home like, man, I haven't heard from my agent in a couple of days. Like, what is going on?
Right. You know, I mean, with you saying that, it just kind of reminds me. So once a house goes under contract, you know, how are we going to communicate, you know, with our client? You know, is it going to be, what are you going to send them to tell them everything that's going to happen? Are you just going to call them and, you know, shout out all these dates on everything? Or are you going to send them an email? Are you going to send them a text with it? I mean, how are you going to communicate that with them? And again, it just really, it comes right down to communication. And so, which is key. And which is very important.
Yep.
But I will tell you, knowledge, that is one of the things that I think is, you know, when you're going from good to great, is to have a market knowledge, to know what's going on in the marketplace and staying up to date, knowing the market trends, knowing when things are happening, and just being able to watch things, watch the dynamics of neighborhoods change. I mean, you know, when you drive through some of the older neighborhoods of any city, you know, you can just kind of see how it's starting to unfold. And you'll see some people actually moving in and fixing up and doing things. But, you know, there's just an era, you know. And so just knowing those neighborhoods, knowing those price ranges, knowing how long those properties are going to be on the market, and just having that knowledge is really important.
Yes, for sure. And the one thing that I think of when you mention knowledge is all of the designations that you have. And so why don't you talk a little bit about that, so that maybe some of the agents out there, you know, there's a lot of agents that get into this market that I think of in this realm, and they get with an agency, but they're not really focused on continuing education. They're focused on getting the bare minimum CEUs at the end of the year. You know, it's talked about it in the last couple of weeks of December, like, hey, have you gotten your CEUs done for the year? And so I don't feel like there's a whole lot of emphasis on that. So why don't you talk about some of the designations and what they mean and why they're important to get?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to designations, I mean, it's just that you're continuing to sharpen the saw and get great skills. You know, in the very beginning, a GRI, which is a Graduate Realtor Institute, you know, that's a wonderful one To definitely have. And that really is, as you get your license, I think it's important. I've always stressed to agents working for me that I want them to have their GRI within 2 years, you know, once getting their license, because I've just told, I just tell them out the gate, this role and what you're doing for a living, it's going to, you know, just give so much back to you, but you have got to gain knowledge and a great understanding of the market. And being a new realtor, you really need to know all this information. And so that's just a great place to start. And then I think a CRS, and that is a certified residential specialist. And that's someone, again, who just, you know, wants to be a great communicator, wants to, you know, really understand the market and get in it, and also just provide great customer service. And so there's so many courses. I mean, as a CRS, you can still, I mean, if I'm going to do a referral, that is like one of the things I look for in an agent. You know, have they dedicated any time to getting educated, for one? And, you know, I call and I interview them as well. You know, I want to know that they're going to take great care of anyone that I'm going to refer to them. And so to me, that's really important. But you know, there's the ABR, that's for buyer's agency, so you can really take great care of buyers. And then SRS is your seller representative specialist, you know, and that's going to be a great listing agent is your SRS. And they're going to take really good care of you, hopefully. You know, when you, once you earn these designations, you go to classes. I mean, you set through a lot. I've been through ninja training. I've been through bold training just in the last year. Those are two huge, you know, undertakings, basically, because those courses are quite lengthy. Right. And, but you just learn so much, you know, and it really does impact your career and then the way you handle things, you know, and I love just the way, it, you know, each one of those classes just talks about, you know, your attitude and how you look at life and being positive and kind of tries to walk you through creating some better habits for yourself. And I know for me, I'm trying to really work on my morning habits. As you know, I get up early. Way earlier than you.
Yes.
And definitely and so for me, it's just creating really great habits in the morning. And so I am working on great morning habits to making sure that I'm doing the same thing over and over every day in the mornings, especially. And if you can have PM habits too before you go to bed, which we kind of have a routine ourselves already. But basically, it's just really important, you know, creating good habits. You know, I could stress that that's just going to help people. I guess it should help them, you know, be a great agent when they do that. But it's not really in the, you know, customer satisfaction.
Well, I think that's a struggle for everybody, especially morning time habits. You know, nighttime habits are maybe a little bit easier to get into, but still difficult for some people. Morning habits are tough for me. I don't like mornings. And so I don't like to wake up early. And that's not even really a goal of mine. I just want to have a good routine once I'm up. But, you know, back to your designations for just a second. What impresses me most about you is you can literally rattle off every designation that you have. And I think it's like 6 or 7 or 8. You might know, but I can't. Some people ask me, well, how many companies do you have? And I have to sit there and think about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like I missed one. Wait a minute. And you can rattle off all these designations just off the top of your head. And I think that's pretty impressive.
Well, I think when you take as much time for education and money, you know, because it's money and time both. It's important that you know what you signed up for, right? And that, you know, I like to, and I like, for when agents are coming to me and they're asking me questions, I like to share. I when I first got into real estate, I remember having questions about getting my GRI or what have you. And I remember someone telling me one time, they said, nobody wants you to go get your GRI. And I'm like, what? And she said, but I'm going to tell you why I think you would be a really good candidate for it. And I was just like, I was really taken back by it. It's like, what do you mean? And she was really just sharing with me in a very good fashion. She goes, everyone just is worried if you go get more educated because you're already beating them up in the marketplace, yes. Right? And so, and I think that particular year I was the number one realtor in volume and my office too. And so, with no designations. And so she's just like, they're worried if you get your designation, you know, you're going to take it over.
And you've moved down to the Northwest Arkansas market. And I think that's maybe even sadly something that people don't fully understand, because they don't even think about designations. And so they don't even really know the competition that you are, because they don't even fully understand the whole picture of it. And so you can disagree with me if you want, but that's just my opinion.
Hey, you're only as good as your last deal. I say that over and over and over. So you got to prove yourself. You always have to prove yourself.
I mean,
no,
I feel like
what.
That's a sports analogy. You're only as good as your last game or something. I don't know. But so what's the next thing you got for us today?
You just need to know how to negotiate. You need to be able to negotiate for your client, and you need to really sharpen the saw in this area. I know so many agents, and you know, I think I gave you a hard time the other day about negotiation, and it was just simply because I was like, but the more you practice, the better you are, right? So, you know, when we go places, I'm always like, let's negotiate, let's negotiate.
Let's haggle at the Walmart checkout. Hey, can you come over here on the self-checkout? Like, I don't want to pay this price.
Well, but they have to have the ability to be able to understand complex situations, right?
It's true.
And to be able to negotiate through that and secure favorable terms for the client. That's the most important thing. And so your negotiation skills are going to really speak loudly to your buyers and sellers, you know, and the outcome and the end result. The end result is what speaks the most. And I love win-wins. That's my whole thing. I love a win-win.
For sure. For both parties, all parties.
Right.
And you know, I think that's one thing that I've seen since we've been married is just seeing all the different angles that you in particular can take on a negotiation, because you have been in this business for so long. You've kind of seen a little bit of everything that is possible, because there's some really unique things that you're able to bring to the table sometime in situations where you think or even know that there are multiple offers on the table. And there's some tricks in your bag that are pretty impressive. And some of the newer agents, they just don't know they even exist. In fact, I feel like there's been a couple times where you've actually had to educate the listing agent, well, here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to do it. And they're like, oh, well, I've never heard of that. So that's something, you know, that helps when you've been in the business long enough and you've seen.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. I mean, you know, we're in this industry together, you know, and I think the most important thing we can do is just lift each other up. Right. And so at any opportunity that I have to help a fellow agent out, but some people don't want help. I will say that.
True.
You know, some people don't want.
They think they know it all.
Well, they don't want my help, but, you know. And so, but, you know, some people are very receptive to it. You know, if I say, hey, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, maybe if we took this angle and we tried it this way, blah, 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 you know, and they're usually receptive to it. You know, it. You know, contracts can be complicated. You know, they really can.
We happen to have an episode on contracts. You should listen into that one. So what do you have for us next?
So there is a difference between being like proactive, right? And really setting the stage for your client, whether it be a buyer or a seller. And so I think great agents take everything as being proactive. So they always take the initiative to anticipate. And I will say for new agents, this is probably the hardest thing, because they haven't been in the business very long. So for them to be able to anticipate what's going to happen next might be a little bit of a struggle for them. But if they're on a good team and they've got good leaders around them, I'm sure that they're helping them address those things. But anticipate and address potential issues that could arise, right? And so that's the most important thing. And, you know, one thing I know for me is that, you know, I hire a home inspector out the gate, you know, right, on a property, and I pay for it,
right,
because I want to know what is wrong with that property. I want to know if there's any issues that we need to repair or take care of, or are we going to take a different angle before we talk about pricing? I mean, these are the things that I have discussions with the seller, because it, for me, it's all about strategy. So when I, you know, have a consultation with someone, I mean, I tell them out the gate, you know, I'm going to be spending some money over here to make sure we get you top dollar. And one of the things that I do is I want to get the house inspected. And that's one thing people are like, well, why are you doing that? I mean, don't you do that once it goes under contract?
Right.
And I'm like, absolutely. The buyer is going to do it, but I want to do it on your behalf. You know, really, it's a team effort. So I should say on our behalf, because I want to be able to negotiate on the best terms. And if I know everything up front, you know, the big ticket items, you know, either we're going to address them or we're going to repair them or we're going to disclose it.
Well, and that goes back to a couple of points that we've talked about already, which is knowledge, but also communication levels and setting those expectations. So that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So be proactive and responsive. I mean, I think those are just keys that are truly important.
Awesome. Very good. We're going to break for station identification. This is your Real Estate Experts podcast channel. Our sponsor today is The Roofing Experts. We stand behind our roofs so you can stand under them. All right, so let's move on to our next point. Jennifer, what do you have to share for us next?
Details. Everything's in the details, right?
It's true.
And so when you think about it, you know, a closing date, that's a big detail. You know, when you think about telling a seller you need to be moved out, you know, on closing day,
yeah,
so they can take possession that day.
That's where the anxiety starts. What's
sometimes
the date?
yeah. So really, you know, when you're visiting with your sellers, I mean, it is about having conversations. And so I know for me, my conversations take place at the very beginning, and I'm trying to set the stage, like how many days is going to be before we get an offer? What is the best closing date for you? What are the, you know, and we're having these conversations. And of course, I carry a calendar with me on these appointments to show my clients, because, you know, there's going to be a time where we're going to have it inspected and we're going to, you know, get professional cleaners in and we're having all these things done. They really need to know what to anticipate.
Good
right?
old Franklin planner, busting it out.
Well, love that's it. Not what I'm taking to. I, of course, I carry that with me.
You have
me,
it right here
course.
Beside you right now.
Right, exactly. I carry this with me always, but I actually print it out. You know, I print out a calendar and talk about the months and we discuss how many days, you know, before it's going to hit the market and right. the momentum and all those great things. But it really is in the details to make sure that you review the contracts and the documents, the disclosures, and you know, because you are protecting, you know, I mean, you think about the cost of a house, right? I mean, it's an investment. So, I mean, all these little details really add up. And if you have an heir, you know, on a contract, I remember one time having, and I mean, this is so, so long ago, because this was back when you had contracts you actually
handwritten on. Yeah.
And I had an agent who was doing a VA loan and she put in an area where you put in points, right? Like she was asking someone to pay points. And so I questioned her on it and I said, look, you know, my sellers are not going to pay the points. No, I scratched that out, right? So that's what she tells me. We go to closing. It's on the settlement statement. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. You know, well, the only way that particular buyer was going to be able to purchase that property was for those points to be paid because they had no other funds.
Gotcha.
And so anyway, so guess who paid the points? I did. Simply for the fact is, and I never did another transaction with that agent again because it did not set well with me.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you know, so that taught me in the early days, you know, that if there's a mistake, you know, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah,
so,
you owned
I mean,
up to it,
it
even though it was
thousands of dollars. Yep. And I will tell you that those particular clients, they sent me, he actually was the city manager and he moved, but he sent me so many people after that. But he's like, man.
Yeah, she's going to take care of the details even if
like,
there's a mess
up. You're the real deal.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, that's not your fault. That's my fault because I trusted the other party. And that's just, you know, it really does get into a place where, you know, you're building relationships. You want to trust people. But it also has to be in the details, you know, and you know, when that conversation came up with the other broker that was involved, you know, her particular boss, I mean, she was like, I think it's just questionable. You know, I mean, I could see a scribble and I could also see where there was like somebody tried to force a two. And so anyway,
you don't want that gray area.
It's just, yeah, you just don't. You don't want that. So pay attention to detail. And I will say this, if you're an agent and you have paid for things, you know, bless your heart, I promise you're going to be rewarded in the end because you'll never make that mistake again. It's just part of it. It's just being in business. But, you know, for those that try to escape, you know, and not take care of their responsibility.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to the word mistake or learning situation. And exactly. It was a deep learning situation.
Character building.
There you go. There you go.
Character building.
All right. So we've talked about attention to detail. You know, one thing you mentioned there about strategy, it just kind of popped into my head about coming soon. I don't see a lot of people in our market doing coming soons as they're not advertising them, I think, to build that momentum. And I think that's one thing that you do a great job of.
Well, I am seeing some coming soons. I mean, they're not all over the place, right? I mean, when I look up and I see that there's 60 new listings and no coming soons, and then the next day there's 44 new listings and there's two coming soons. I mean, you know, when I look at the stats, I'm not seeing a lot of it. But it really is important, you know, to set the stage. And MLS has rules, Multiple Listing Service has rules on, you know, if you are to take a coming soon. And so people have to abide by those.
Yeah.
And it's strict.
Yeah.
And so a lot of agents, it's kind of difficult to get their dates and times and all that stuff.
You have to coordinate it, for sure.
Exactly. And so, but a coming soon is just an opportunity, you know, for you as a realtor to basically put your property out there, you know, and be able to hit social media. It's going to hit MLS as a coming soon. It may not be like on some of the platforms at that point in time, but the realtors know about it and they know that it's coming up. And so you're getting your property out there in the best light you possibly can, but buyers can't view the property or schedule appointments to see it.
But I think that's something that is available in your tool bag that either newer agents don't understand or don't know. And inexperienced agents don't understand or don't know. And so I think that's a really awesome thing. And that's why I wanted to point it out. So let's move on to our next point. What do you have for us next?
Well, I think you have to have networks. You have to be around people. So, you know, having great lenders, inspectors, contractors. We just had somebody here with, you know, organizing. And so we should give her a shout out, you know, in her business.
Yes, go listen to the podcast that we recorded.
Great one, Jacob. But you know, so you're really leveraging all of your connections, right? And just, you know, basically providing your clients, you know, the cream of the crop. I mean, that's one of the best things that you can do. So for me, you know, I'm actually in BNI, and so I have great people, you know, in my network. And then I have people outside my network too, that I've reached out to, just because I don't have everybody in BNI, but we've got great people that can do just about everything. And so I think just having them really does help you. And also your customer and your clients are like, wow, they really do. I mean, there's nothing that they can't do. You know, yeah. That's what I always want for our team, is for people to say, well, there's nothing that they can't do.
Well, and that is the power of networking. And I think a lot of agents probably look at it and say, I don't really need to network. You know, I've got a broker that can give me the answer. But you never know on what relationship you'll miss out on if you don't continually network, because you could find the most amazing handyman. You know, you could come across somebody that nobody really knew about in your office, and all of a sudden you found this handyman, and he could be a game changer for you. Because if you've got a guy that you can call to fix X, Y, and Z,
and you can definitely, you know, you can reach out to social media and ask people for recommendations. I mean, that's something that I see people do all the time. For me, because you know me well enough to know, like, I'm not going to have someone come and inspect a property for me, a home inspector, if I haven't met them.
Right.
And I mean, like, I interview them.
Right.
I mean, if it's someone I've never worked with before, I mean, I interview people, and then I get other recommendations too from other agents, because it's really important that, you know, when I am putting someone with my client, that they're doing a great job and they're performing at their peak. That's important for me. So I think just really having a great network is important.
Yep. Awesome. So next point, why don't we move on to, what do you have for us next?
Well, we've already kind of talked on it because you asked about, you know, designations and things like that. But I just think, you know, regardless, reading, I'll just use reading instead of, you know, really trying to talk about that. But I mean, it's just really, you know, self-development. You know, I think it's really important as agents because we really do, you know, whether you're a lender or appraiser, I mean, our schedules are crazy.
Yeah.
And when you think about all the different hats that we wear in a day, I just think how important it is. And we, you know, it's our job to stay on top of trend and reading the latest of what's going on, you know, in our industry as well. And just learning as much as we possibly can, because we have to be equipped, you know, to be able to help our customer and clients through things. So knowledge is power and having that expertise. And so commitment to professional development is huge. So you got to, you know, it just might as well put it in your routine. And so for me, you know, it's like, that's part of my morning routine, you know, in the morning, you know, I'm going to, you know, read my Bible verse and kind of review some things, you know, that I've been working on myself spiritually. And then secondly, I'm going to read a book. You know, I'm physically reading a book. It's not an audio. I'm physically reading a book. And so, and then channeling, you know, trying to think about really positive things and outlining my day and knowing how it's going to end. So,
and then I seem to wake up more mornings than not to a podcast coming out of the other room as you're getting ready. So listening to podcasts
or YouTube.
Yeah.
That's just like secondary stuff that I'm just listening and getting the makeup on and all that. So yeah. Absolutely.
But it's true. It's it goes back to professional development. It's constant learning.
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. So we're getting close to the end of our podcast for today. Is there any other points that you wanted to touch on?
Well, if I didn't touch on this last point, or the point for today would be customer service. I mean, what would we do if we just did not provide a great customer service, right?
Right.
And what does that look like? I mean, everybody has different personalities. And so it looks different to everyone. But and I was reading something about introvert and extrovert, and somebody was making the excuse about, but I'm an introvert. You know, this is the thing, you know, being kind and recognizing people, speaking to people. I mean, we teach our kids this, right? I mean, just to have good manners.
Right.
And so, I mean, so if we're going to be in this industry, we have to love people and love on people. And so I think customer services is just a way that we can just really make sure that our clients know that, you know, that we really are there for them. And, you know, after the sale, I mean, I could preach here for a long time, but I won't. But after the sale is really important.
The service after the sale.
I mean, I've had people tell me I had the best agent. But when I ask them who they are, what's their name?
Right.
I mean, because it's been 3 months, they can't remember, but they were amazing. And they'll even tell you some of the things that they did, you know, during the transaction. And you're like going, that is an amazing agent. I mean, they really did a great job, but
their follow-up. And that's a whole other podcast episode right there.
So I want to say this, there are great agents, but they're called secret agents.
That's a good
agents. They're great. They're awesome. They're amazing. And they do a great job and they take great care of people. But after the sale, they become secret.
It's true.
Because people don't remember them anymore.
It's true.
And that's the saddest part about it. And so if I could do anything is just encourage agents to somehow stay in touch with their clients after the sale. I think Cody Dooley said it best when we had her on, and she had a customer that basically, you know, for whatever reason, if anything could have gone wrong during that transaction, it did. However, what she did was she continued to follow up with the client, and then that client actually ended up giving her referrals. You know, and that really speaks a lot. And she just said, you know, I knew everything wasn't your fault, you know, but things just happen, right? And so she did great follow-up. And by following up, she got great referrals, you know, and probably to this day is continuing to get referrals from the lady. So
for sure.
I mean, that's amazing and awesome.
There's going to be mistakes in all lines of work. And if you are able to, you know, just own up to the mistakes that you've made, own up to the mistakes that happened in the course of a deal. I think instead of running and hiding from them, then that'll just win you so much more.
Right. And even if you, you know, I'll say this, you know, for a lot of agents, they're like, well, how can I mean, it's been 3 years. I haven't talked to anybody. Guess what? They really don't know it's been 3 years. If you happen to call them, I mean, they're not going to think, oh, wow, why is she calling me? It's been 3 years, you know, just call them, you know, because in 6 weeks, when you call them again, they're going to be like, oh, yeah. I mean, just call them. So just call them. I mean, right now, the market is the market. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be touching base with our past customer and our clients, seeing if there's anything we can do.
Yep.
We need to provide them data about what's going on in the market, sharing. I mean, our housing is great. I mean, people's properties have appreciated. They would love to get a report telling them how much equity they have in their property. So that would be my advice for agents that have a great database, is to start going back to their clients with a report about the value of their property.
Yep, very good. Well, that is some really amazing points that you brought up today. Hope everybody was taking notes while they're driving down the road. I'm just kidding. Don't take notes while you're driving.
You do.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
You do a lot of things driving down the road.
I don't recommend that. I need to have a lawyer disclaimer right now.
Okay, so what is your book recommendation?
Yeah, so the book for this week got me to thinking about touch points with past clients. And the name of it is Giftology, from John Rulin. And it talks about, it's a great book. It talks about how you wouldn't necessarily, so let me take a, I did not watch much of The Simpsons. I did happen to catch a few episodes here and there. But there was one where Homer gave Marge a bowling ball with his initials.
Now that sounds like something you might give me.
I don't think he actually wanted to give Marge a bowling ball. I think he wanted to buy a bowling ball for himself. But anyways, so I think that's a great analogy, though, in the way that the book talks about giving gifts to clients, past clients, or what have you. And you don't want to give them something with your name on them, because then that's just like, you know, is that really something they'll use? So give them something of high value, high quality, something they will use, and then they will remember you every time they use it.
That's very good. I definitely have to read that book, and I would probably recommend it to everyone that's listening to read that book, because it's probably something that would really help them, because buying gifts is kind of a hard, I mean, I never sometimes know what to buy.
It's true.
You know,
it's difficult.
I mean, you know, sometimes you have clients that are really picky, and you just know that anything that you probably buy, they may not like. And so it's just kind of hard. I know I'm hard to buy for. And you do a great job, by the way, of buying for me.
Thank you.
So, but, you know, and I know that I'm hard to buy for. But I'm just saying, it's kind of hard sometimes. So I think that I definitely need to read this book.
Very good. Well, we're wrapping it up today on the Real Estate Experts podcast. So you can find us anywhere you find your podcast. Thanks for listening today, and have a great week.